pray, and then let's sing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Lord, for life and health and strength, for even for the reasonably good weather. I pray for more of it for tomorrow. And for all that we've been able to accomplish, for Lord, for your grace and your mercy and peace that you've sent our way. Lord, for keeping us safe as the days have gone by, and when things could have gone badly wrong. I just pray for each one of us here. I pray for our brothers and sisters, wherever it is they might be, Lord, for comfort and provision for them, Lord, and for wisdom. For any place in the UK and indeed around the world that will be having a church service tonight, I pray that you would inspire the hearers and preachers of it. Father, that you would find our praises and our prayers acceptable in your sight. And Father, that you would take this time to work on our hearts and minds. We just love you and thank you. You know all of our hearts, Lord. You know our hearts' desires. You know everything that's going on in the world. I pray you for the victory, Lord. We leave this at your feet. Pray that you'd be with us this evening. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We will get to a page to serve Jesus, 386, but not tonight. Amen. We'll start with 215. I haven't sung this for a little bit. It's called Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul.
After I wandered in darkness away,
140 Lessons of Gratitude. Would you mind playing the Have an Anchor for us this evening? 140 in the big books. Then after this, we'll have a Bible reading and we'll sing a few, one or two from the book. And number 140, we have an anchor. If you're able, let's stand.
Whither shall I go from spirit, from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my remains, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes had seen my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against the wicked, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, I hate thee, and I grieve with those that riveth against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred, I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 140. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man, preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hand of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who hath proposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords, but they have spread a net by the wayside, and they have set gins for me. Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God, hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord. God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desire of the wicked, further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits, and they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man, who overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, and upright shall dwell in thy presence. Amen.
Oh, would you know? You got a prayer list there, I know that man now will buy it. Thank you. Well, good evening, everybody, again. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to the prayer list for tonight? Well, until the next prayer list, next week or so. Anybody got any prayer requests that they would...
Just pray for my cat's not out quickly.
Are you missing the wheeze? Quick fix on the car. Well, indeed. It could have been worse. It could have been you, Sam. I pray that I could get out of hospital quickly. Yeah, it's only the car, but it is amazing how quickly you miss that handiness. Anybody else get any other prayer requests?
Go and stay safe in the room.
Okay. Okay, pray for that. All good? We did make mention of the folks in Priestley. Please do pray for that. That's only a half an hour, give or take, from here. There's nearly, could have been 20 lives, 18, 20 lives ended as it was. 10 people lost their lives and stepped off into eternity. The Lord knows how many of them were ready. But please do pray for the families of those and for the ones that are injured at this time. Don't forget to pray for each other. Very important. You and I don't know what a day has ahead of us, but the Lord does. And the Lord puts it upon your heart to be praying for someone, will then pray for them. Please also remember private prayer requests. I have them marked in my book, but does everybody here have a private prayer? Everybody has private prayer requests. So. Okay. Just a little bit of news about Pat and Steve. First of all, they send their regards and thank you for all the prayers. Second, please do pray for Steve. He has what do they call it? Saddle sores. I think it's equivalent to a bed sore. It's something that you'll get if you stay in the one position for a very, very long time. If you were in bed, it would be round about all the places on your back that would be pressed upon by the mattress. And he has that, because Steve would be sitting a lot of time, he has that on, I think, on a couple of places on his back. So please do pray for that. It's not very good to get things like that. He has a couple of ulcers on his leg as well. So. And he has a bad redness up both legs and creeping up his back as well. So please do pray for Stevie. He's getting a tough time at the moment. Pray for Pat too, as she looks after him. And if you get a minute, drop him a line, even just a wee note, and let him know you're thinking of praying for him. Other than that, is there anything else? I can't think of anything else. Is there anything else anybody can be thinking on? Just look out for each other. Look out for yourselves. They're talking about, whether it happens or whether it's fear-mongering, they're talking about rolling blackouts starting in January or February. That means for 3 hours in a day, there will be no electricity for certain parts of the country because of Joe Biden cutting American production of oil, and a lot of the environmental groups in England refusing to let coal mines open up and protesting the fracking and one thing and another to produce our own power. So my thought to you is, and my advice to you is, if there's any way you can lay up extra food or extra power during this time, make sure you do it. You don't want to be without heat, you don't want to be without water, and you don't want to be without meats. And over the next 4 or 5 months, it's going to be one of the coldest times traditionally in the Irish winter. So we all know ahead, we knew ahead that God's judgment's coming, we got saved. We're prepared to meet God in His judgment. We know the difficult times are coming in this country, so make provision. Whenever you look out and see the wee bunny rabbits, they're all starting to put on a lot of weight now. Thank goodness, because they make better eating that way. But bunny rabbits and ducks and all these wee critters, they put on a layer of fat for the winter, and they grow thicker coats, they prepare. So just look out for yourself, make appropriate provisions. I also see too that the big drug companies, the companies that were involved in, I think it was Pfizer, have said, are admitting now that all of the mad claims they had about their inoculations didn't mean anything. That their inoculations did not prevent the transmission of COVID, and it may have made some people asymptomatic, but it didn't do anything else for people, except maybe cause a lot of young men's hearts to actually quit. He said that there was, anyway, I don't know all of the exact statistics, so I'm not going to give you, but Pfizer is walking back a lot of the claims that they made about COVID, and they're trying to distance themselves from any instances of, in quotes, justice that were visited upon people that refused to take the vaccine. So please do pray for our country and ourselves. Our Prime Minister is no better than the one they voted out. So please do pray for Liz Truss. The government is not coming to help any of us whenever things go badly wrong. So make sure that you have some provision in your home for heating and water and eating that doesn't depend on a shop being open. So things are going to get tight. I would be doing you a disservice if I said things are going to be grand over the next 4 months, because they're not. Please take care of yourself. The Lord has given us this time to do so. Please do take care. And if you don't need it and the Lord comes back for us, well then somebody else is certainly going to need it, all those that are left behind, whenever the Lord takes his children off of the earth and starts his 21 judgments, they are going to need every single bit of help that you leave behind. One way or another, it will be a help to somebody, but look after yourselves. All very well, Sam, all the Lord will look after us, but the Lord doesn't say he's going to do everything for us. He says, I'll certainly warn you and I'll give you the wisdom. But there's sometimes you have to put your best foot forward. So please do pray for each other as well. Pray for our government. Pray for our churches. Pray for your fellow countrymen. And pray for the leaders of the countries in this world. There's a lot going on. Amen. Right, let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for your open door policy. Thank you, Father, that we can come before you and just bring everything before you with prayers and supplications and thanksgiving. And we know, Lord, that you hear our words whenever we have been equipping ourselves properly as Christians, when we have been obeying you, when we have been keeping in touch with you, Lord. I pray this evening that you would continue to work in our hearts and minds. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. Let us make sure, Lord, that we're doing and saying the right things. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would bear in mind our private prayer requests. Pray for Normans, for Charlottes, for Lynns, for Monicas, for mine, for Pats and Steves, and for Wills. I pray for our prayer requests, Lord, and pray that you would grant them according to your will and for your glory and honor, Lord, and for the saving of souls. Pray for all the folks that have heard the gospel in this time, from our church and from the other churches, that you would use them to speak to them about sin and judgment to come. I pray you, Lord, please, for our family, for our friends that don't yet know you as Savior, that our behavior would point them in a different direction at the world's point. And if our behavior doesn't do that, if our words don't do that, Lord, that we would change them so they do. Please strengthen us and comfort us and watch over us. Please, Lord, help us prepare. Remind us continually of the right things to be done. And we pray, Lord, for your will to be done, not for our will. So much going on, Lord. We leave our leaders at your feet. Pray that you would constrain them greatly continually. No matter which ones of them think that they're too big, or too smart, or too powerful for you, I pray, Lord, that you would show them otherwise, even in these last of the last days. Bless us now with your presence. And Lord, we leave the rest of the service in your hands. Please lead us and guide us. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, wee hymn book time. Let's take our wee hymn books. We've got to sing number one, How Great Thou Art. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. We'll remain seated as we sing.
I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder.
fourth hymn, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Number 16.
That's it, but you're singing number 16, so if you're fit, let's stand as we do. Actually 109 years old. This one was, there's a man called Philip Lord Wharton, and he started a prize that if the Psalms number 115, 25, 37, 101, 113 and 145, that this little Bible would be awarded to the person that learned those. And I think it was either an uncle or a grandfather of mine in 1913, a great uncle or a grandfather in 1913 did that, and he was awarded this little Bible. That has been sitting in a bookcase in our house, my dad's house, for, well, for many a year, and he handed it to me the other day, and I just thought, I would love to use this old Bible and give it a run in a church service. So here we are, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 4. I had to use my magnifying glasses to read it, but the text is very small. But the thing about it is, this past little while, I have, as I have been reading my Bible, I have noticed that there have been a few wrong words that were in my Bible. They were misspelled, or they were completely different words. And I noticed the same in Monica's when we were having a read through Psalms. Does anyone know what a jinn is? A G-I-N. Jinn is a trap. In Monica's Bible, it said grins. Three or four times.
Twice.
So it has put me on my guard a bit when I'm reading my Bible, and I will confirm if someone says something different than my Bible. And I thought, you know what? I can almost certainly guarantee you, Hans and Mark, there are no typos in this Bible. So we're reading from this old King James. It doesn't say King James, it says Prince James in it, 109 years ago. Interesting. But there you go. I'd like to read a handful of verses, up to about 30 or 31, beginning at verse number 1. Deuteronomy 4, verse number 1, never too late. Now therefore hearken, O Israel. Unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go on, and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God, hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. But what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this day, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they should live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And he came near, and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, and ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on that on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves,
and make me a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, that I should not go into that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make ye a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Amen. You might have guessed we're taking the last couple of verses, the last handful of verses there, as our text. I'm speaking for a little bit on the subject of never too late. So let's have a quick prayer and then off we go. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would lead us and guide us through this portion of your scriptures. Just help us to understand. We love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and for all that you've done for us. Amen. Amen. We have been in Deuteronomy and in Joshua a little bit as well this past little while. And we have spoken quite a lot about all of the things that have gone on with the children of Israel as they have come in from the wilderness into the promised land. All the things that God told the people and the things the people haven't done many a time. But here we have the last few words of Moses as the children of Israel are about to go into the promised land, and he has reminded them of a bunch of stuff. First of all, and most importantly, and probably most personally for Moses, he was called upon by God to tell the children that because of his disobeying God, it has consequences. Even for Moses, the big cheese, it was going to cost him his life. He wasn't going to get into the promised land. Moses disobeyed God, and he wasn't going to get into the promised land. He literally said, I'm going to die here, and that's that. Here's a few things you need to remember, Moses said. Don't forget the word of God. Teach it to your children and your children's children. Because if you start to monkey about and worship other gods, it's going to go badly for you. In fact, Moses said, not if. He said, when you've been in the land a long time, then you will start to corrupt yourself. You will depart from God. You will think that all of the effort that you go to in praising God and worshiping God and obeying God is just too much bother. And then you'll start to behave like the pagans. You'll start to think that all the things that God has done for you in bringing you to the promised land, that that was you. That because you were mighty warriors, or because you were very wise or great tacticians, that you were able to overcome all of your enemies and take the promised land. You'll start to think that. Because that's what we do whenever we forget God. And God said, you see, the moment that you start worshipping images made of stone and wood, I think the Bible says, which have eyes but can't see, and ears that can't hear, and mouths that can't speak, it says, I'm going to scatter you off of the promised land. It will not be yours any longer, because it is reserved for God's people, and you will have shown me to be not God's people. My blessings will stop. My protection will stop. The fear that the world, the flesh, and the devil has in you will disappear. And you will be attacked in every quarter. More than that, God said, you will find that I am your enemy. That is one of the reasons at the end of John chapter 3, it talks about the wrath of God abiding with those that reject Jesus. That is worth remembering. The anger of God literally abides with people that don't like God. So it's quite a tale of woe. And it all starts not with God, but with people not obeying God. And he says, you'll be few in number. In other words, it sounds like a lot of persecution. And we know that during the Second World War, there were 6 million of God's people were murdered and greatly persecuted by the Nazis and Germany. It says, you'll be whittled away down, and you'll be persecuted and hated on every side. But, and this is one, this is why I love my God. Because even when we mess up, when we make complete and utter fools of ourselves and let God down, if we turn back to God, what does the Bible say? Not just, oh God, I'm sorry, can you give me everything that I had before? God doesn't say that. It says, if you will turn back to me with all your heart and with all your soul, it says, then I won't forget you. I won't forsake you anymore. I will remember the covenant that I had with your fathers. And the covenant that God had with his fathers was, he said to Abraham, if you obey me, I will bless you. You will literally be unstoppable. You will see your children up to the third and fourth generation. Everything you put your hand to, literally in the old fable, will be like Midas's touch. All your livestock will bring forth many young. Your crops will bring forth hundredfold, and the floods and the destruction that will not come anywhere near you. If you turn back to me. In the Gospels, I think it was whenever the Lord spoke to the rich young ruler. But the Lord said these words, you should love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, the Lord should be such a part of your mind that you should be thinking about him. You should love him. You should want to be a good son to the King of Kings. And that you should not be afraid to put a bit of effort or a bit of elbow grease into serving God. But whenever you come to that point, God will begin to bless you. You'll see things happen. It will not be an Amazon parcel landing in that you never ordered. People get that at the moment. God will bless you with wisdom. He will bless you with, how would you put it, an unstoppable reasoning, a boldness and a fearlessness that will literally show people that you're cut from different cloth to do public in this world. You're cut from a heavenly cloth and not an earthly cloth. And God said, then I will keep you. I will not forsake you anymore. Then I will watch over you. Then I will raise you up. And many times, even as we go on from Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and then to Joshua, and then into Judges, you will read many, many times that whenever there was a great need or people wandered away from God, God would raise up, like Nebuchadnezzar. After they'd wandered away from God for many generations, God raised up Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to come and teach them a lesson. And for 70 years, the land had rest, because whenever they forsook God, they literally, they abandoned worshiping God and treating the land properly. So for 70 years, they were off the land, and the whole of Israel lay waste. And then they were brought back to Israel again. Whenever they cried, "Oh Lord, please have mercy on us. We remember the way it used to be when we walked with you, and we see the way it is now as a result of our not walking with you. Lord, we would rather walk with you." It's a little bit like this. Walk with God and obey his judgments. I will make you unstoppable, unbeatable. I was going to say unreasonable, that's not the word, but I will make it so that people cannot oppose your reason. I will even make your enemy to fall upon their own swords and fall into their own traps and snares. These promises are the whole way through Psalms and Judges. I will raise up men and even women to lead you. If you walk with me. If you do things my way, if you do the crazy things that I ask you to do, you will see my hand working in people's lives. Probably the craziest was, "Peter, hop out of the boat and come over to see me. Sir, sure thing, God." Can you imagine that? In the middle of a storm, seasoned fishermen, remembering how many of their friends lost relatives and friends in bad weather in the Sea of Galilee. Out he went, into the water. Because God called him. You love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God will call you and work with you and through you. How does that match up to today? If we were to compare the number of great Christians that there are about today to what there were even 100 years ago, I honestly cannot think of one name. There's no Adoniram Judsons. There's no William Careys. There's no D.L. Moody's. There seems to be a great plentiful supply of fair weather Christians that worship God and love to go to church when everything's hunky-dory. But whenever things get a bit tight, they disappear. God said it doesn't matter who you are. What matters is not your ability, but your availability for God. Whenever God calls, if you're prepared to prioritize God over whatever it is you might happen to be doing at any given time, if it's important, God knows and he'll call you when your important work is done. But if God calls you to do something, that means whatever you're doing right now is not as important as what God called you to do. And if you're prepared to do that, be prepared to see God literally working in people's hearts and minds, saving souls and helping you. The title of the message was, "It's Never Too Late." We know the time scale that God was talking about here. Because for nearly 2,000 years, those stupid people at Christ's crucifixion that said, "His blood be upon us and our children," have wandered the world for nearly 2,000 years. They have been hated. They have been persecuted. They have been rounded up like sheep for the slaughter. And Hitler did his best to try and refute and stop biblical prophecy coming true with his pursuit and almost genocide of the Jewish people. But because of that, and maybe in spite of that, Israel became a nation again. Because whenever you come under that sort of persecution and you have the promise of death, even from your neighbors, you're going to call upon God. Because it doesn't matter your bank account, your fashion, your house, your car. It doesn't matter who your friends are. If your life is in jeopardy, who do you call upon? call upon God. And you put your faith in him. And I am sure millions of them called to the God, the Messiah, that they were waiting on, even as they went into the ovens and the gas chambers. And God pulled the country out of fresh air and restored Israel. They called and he answered. It doesn't mean that you get away scot-free. The nation of Israel certainly didn't. That was a tremendous price to be paid. And even as they tried to restore the promised land, even Britain and the America and the Allies were against them. They actually set themselves that the nation that once worshipped God Almighty and was made the greatest empire that the world ever saw, upon which the sun never set, it was that far reach, and actually set themselves against God. And look where we are now. Look where America and Europe, the traditional seat of Christianity, is now. But even now, it's still not too late to call upon God. If you call upon him and mean it, it's not too late to call upon God. He will answer. However, it might be a bit late for your testimony. It might be a bit late for you to have a life full of service to God. If you live like the devil and speak like the devil and behave like the devil, you're going to get everything that the devil has waiting for. Even many Christians, they don't know what they should be doing. They don't know how to listen for God. They don't know how to read their Bible, or even that they should read their Bible, and certainly don't spend too much time in prayer. But if they seek the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul, God will speak to them. God will answer them. I know there are instances in the world of people living really, really hard lives, really violent lives, immoral lives, and coming to know Jesus Christ at a late age. And they are powerful stories. Whenever you hear of the things that people went through that brought them to the foot of the cross, they're powerful stories. And it's great to hear them. But it's even better to hear of people that have gone on with God from a young age and have a solid testimony, and have served God, maybe quietly, maybe out there in front of the world, faithfully for decades. It's not as, what's the word, Hollywoodable? Is that the word? It's not as notable. But they are to be, what's the word, applauded for keeping going throughout all the years of their life. And not just come to God at the last minute. They are to be applauded for a solid testimony. They are to be applauded for the number of people that they appointed to the foot of the cross. Let me tell you something, friends. Time runs out very quickly. I remember when I joined the church, I think I was about 33 years old. Maybe a bit less. I'm 31 years old. That's, and mathematics was, has stopped being my strong point. And I was 23 before I got saved. So that was 23 years of my life that was wasted. I picked up a lot of experience, a lot of it I wish I hadn't, but it's there. I am glad that I found a church that encouraged me to read and to study and to memorize the Bible and apply it to my life and take it and tell other people about it. I am glad of that. Because I turned to God. And there have been times in those 23 years where I wandered far from God before I found this church. Sorry, I'm 30 since I was 21 or 22 or 23 when I got saved. It took me nearly another 10 years to find this church. I did a lot of stupid things, and I wasted a lot of time. But whenever I sought the Lord with all my heart and all my soul, he blessed me and he has kept me. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you.
In all honesty, when we do not serve God, when we start about serving ourselves, and we see the rewards of being selfish and self-centered, I'm reminded very much of what Jesus said to Paul the Apostle on the road to Damascus. When Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Jesus said, "It's me, Jesus Christ. How hard is it for you to kick against the pricks, to go against everything that you know is right? How hard is it to live a life apart from God? How hard is it to live in sin? It seems like such a good time at the time. But whenever you think back on it, it was just a lot of rank stupidity and self-harm. And that's no way to be. No matter what you've done, no matter how you've lived your life, no matter what age you are, how many years you think you might have left, they will be far better spent, far easier on the mind, the soul, and the body than spending with Jesus. And He will bless you. I'm going to stop there. And thank you for your good time. God bless you. We'll sing a wee song, and then we will be dismissed. Has anybody got a favorite, or one that would like for us to sing? This is Brad here.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Well, what is that in there?
I'm singing the big book.
Two 71. We'll finish this evening with 271, Lord, I'm coming home. Let's stand as we sing.
Oh.
dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time aside from the world in your presence, lifting up your praises and hearing your word read, Lord, and thinking on the contents of it. Please bless us as we go a separate ways. See us safely home, Lord. Back at the next appointed time. Please grant us the strength and wisdom and provision that we need to get things done. We love you and praise you. Ask that you would be with us. Please don't forsake us. Help us always to seek your will and your position in things. Lord. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this, Lord, of course, for private prayer requests. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, you're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. Amen.